Hey, super friends, my name is Neil, and welcome to this episode 90 of the Get Your Comic Con podcast. We're here fortnightly-ish to bring you a slice of film, TV, and pop culture goodness from our studio direct to your speakers. I'm flying solo this episode, but James will be dropping in a little later on with a very special interview celebrating the release of a brand new DC Comics animated movie, which is available in stores from this week. I'm also going to be wrapping up my thoughts on the final episodes of the final season of Star Trek Picard, which I am currently in mourning for now that it is off the air. I've also got a heap of recommendations for you. I've got comic books, I've got TV shows, I've got movies, I've got everything that I want to recommend to you at this moment for you to consume. But before we do all of that, why don't we cover off a little bit of what is going on in the news right now? First up in the news this week, Warner Brothers UK has confirmed that Shazam! Fury of the Gods will be coming to pay video on demand digital services from April the 28th. It is already available in the US, so this is the UK home video digital premiere. It includes a whole bunch of new featurettes and special features. So there is Shazam! Let's Make a Sequel featurette, the Rock of Eternity decked out featurette, the Shazamily reunion, the Zack Effect, the Sisterhood of the Daughters of Atlas, pay-by-play scene breakdown, and then there are a bunch of scene-specific, closer looks. So you've got the Ben Franklin Bridge collapse, the Rooftop Battle of the Gods, Unicorn Ride in Philadelphia, Epic Showdown at the Baseball Stadium, there's the Mythology of Shazam featurette, an audio commentary with director David Sandberg, and deleted, alternate, and extended scenes. We don't have a date for when this is going to hit Blu-ray and DVD yet, but the premium digital ownership does begin from April the 28th, 2023. So grab your copy, grab the popcorn, get the family around and watch that this weekend on the sofa, because that's going to be a fun one to watch with all the family. There's also been plenty of Star Trek news in recent weeks. So in case you missed it, first up, there was an announcement that Academy Award winning Michelle Yeoh is returning to Star Trek as Emperor Philippa Georgiou for a very special Section 31 TV event movie. So Section 31 had originally been envisioned as a series and was first announced back in, 2019, but it is now going to be an event movie which will begin production later this year for release next year. That will focus on Emperor Georgiou, because Captain Georgiou, as you will remember, died very early in Season 1 of Discovery and was replaced by her alternate universe counterpart. It will follow her and her Section 31 crew as they deal with some kind of universe looming threat. And Paramount Plus has also released the first teaser trailer for Season 2 of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. That show returns on June the 15th on Paramount Plus in the US, UK, Australia, Latin America, Brazil, France, Italy, Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. Other countries where Paramount Plus is available are yet to confirm a premiere date. The trailer shows a little bit more of James Kirk, who is joining the cast this season, although we don't know how big his role will be and how many episodes will be in. But this certainly looks like it's going to be another incredibly fun season from the crew of the USS Enterprise. Don't forget that this season also features a crossover with Lower Decks, where Tawny Newsom and Jack Quaid will appear in live action as Mariner and Boimler. There's no footage of that in the trailer, but certainly I can't wait to see that. And I'm so glad that Paramount is now releasing episodes on the same day. So as you just heard, it's returning on June the 15th. It used to be that episodes would air in the US on Thursday and in the UK on Friday, but now Star Trek will align itself and it will be a global Thursday release. So that is very, very exciting. If you have not seen the trailer yet, you can check it out over on our website, which is www.getyourcomiccon.co.uk. DC has announced a brand new series, which is definitely going to please fans who are mourning the upcoming loss of Titans on HBO Max. They have announced that, spinning out from Dark Crisis, with the Justice League no more and the dawn of DC now upon us, the Titans have stepped up to become the DC Universe's premier superhero team, and all eyes are on them. But who are Starfire, Raven, Donna Troy, and Beast Boy? Where do they come from? What do they stand for? All will be revealed in this brand new series, Tales of the Titans. It's a series of spotlight issues in the spirit of the 1980s classic Tales of the New Teen Titans. The first issue is written by Shannon Hale and Dean Hale, and has art by Javier Rodriguez, and it will be releasing in comic book stores on July the 18th. it will put the spotlight on Starfire, alien princess and warrior. Her huge heart, huger hair, and fiery fists have made Starfire a fan favourite member of the team. When a spaceship bearing Tamaranian markings crash lands on Earth, Starfire goes on a solo mission to uncover its origins. But what awaits her on that journey will bring her back to the earliest days of her youth, to memories of two sisters eternally at war, and perhaps the chance to keep history from repeating itself. The second issue will release in August and will explore Raven's backstory. That one's written by Teenie Howard with art by Eleonora Carlini. The third issue, which will arrive on September the 26th, will look at Wonder Girl, Donna Troy, and that comes from Steve Orlando and artist Kath Lobo. And then Tales of the Titans number 4 will hit stores on October the 24th and will look at Beast Boy. That one's written by Andrew Constant and has art by Brant and Steen. How amazing is that? So the series will have covers from artist Nicola Scott, and you can check out all of the cover art over on our website. It's going to be a cool way at looking at some of the kind of, I guess, I don't want to say lesser known because that's not fair, but basically looking at members of the team who aren't Cyborg or Kid Flash or Nightwing, for instance, who maybe casual fans don't know quite as much about. So that's going to be really, really cool, and that's launching in July. So hopefully there'll be a big splash for that at San Diego Comic-Con, which leads me into our final news story for this week. As you know, this year is 10 years of Get Your Comic-Con, the website. And what you might not know is part of our origin story. So 10 years ago, Boy Wonder and I, well, 11 years ago, sorry, this year, Boy Wonder and I got married. And we decided that for our honeymoon, we wanted to go to San Diego and go to San Diego Comic-Con because neither of us had been. We booked all of the holiday and then failed to get tickets to San Diego Comic-Con. But we went and had an amazing holiday, saw lots of the stuff that you can do outside the convention center that doesn't require a ticket, looked in through the doors and were very sad that we couldn't go in. And then San Diego happens around my birthday. And that year it was slightly before. So we got back to London and we were hanging out with some of my uni friends for my birthday. And basically it came up with in conversation that it was like, start a website, start a blog, start whatever you want to call it, and see if you can get yourself a press pass. See if you can do it in the next 10 years. This year is year 10. This is the first year that I have applied. Obviously, San Diego has not been happening for the last couple of years. Well, it did last year, but prior to that had been off for a couple of years due to the pandemic. But I have applied and been accepted. So we are going to San Diego Comic Con this year. The flights and hotels are booked. It is happening. We are attending SDCC as press. Not only that, we are doing it on the 10th anniversary of the website and also in the week of the 100th edition of this very podcast. So coming up this July, you will have coverage from San Diego Comic-Con, from the show floor, from panels, hopefully interviews. We'll be celebrating 10 years of GEICO. There are big plans that I need to tell you about, but we'll do that in the near future. But you will also be getting the 100th podcast live from San Diego. So that is very, very exciting. And I thank each and every one of you who has listened to a podcast, read a review, been on the website, liked a social media post, because, yeah, we are just so grateful that you are out there and that you enjoy what it is that we do. So get ready. It's only really a couple of months away, 3 months away, I guess. So I need to probably get the suitcase out and start planning what I'm going to do. That's all for the news this week. Don't forget, if you want to keep up to date with all the latest news from film, TV, pop culture, comic books, head to our website, which is www.getyourcomiccon.co.uk, and follow us on social media. We're on all major platforms at Get Your Comic Con. Releasing this week on Blu-ray, DVD and on digital, the heroes of DC's Justice League and Rooster Teeth Animation's Ruby join forces to battle an evil entity attacking Remnant in Justice League vs. I don't know, what do you say when it's an X? Justice League and Ruby? Superheroes and Huntsman Part 1. The all-new feature-length DC animated movie finds Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Cyborg, Green Lantern and Vixen in new iterations, transformed into teenagers while on transport to Ruby's world and presented in Rooster Teeth's anime-influenced animation. Partnering with the heroes of Remnant, Ruby, Weiss, Blake, and Yang, to battle a mysterious and superpowered creature before it destroys everything we know. The film features a really cool voice cast. So DC's Trinity are now taken over by Natalie Allen Lind from Big Sky, The Goldbergs and Gotham as Wonder Woman. Chandler Riggs from The Walking Dead, who you will hear in an interview with James shortly, as Superman. And Nat Wolff from The Fault in Our Stars as Batman. They'll be joined by Ruby's long-running cast, Lindsay Jones as Ruby, Kara Abel as Weiss, Aaron Zeck as Blake, and Barbara Dunkelman as Yang. Now, if like me, you're not completely familiar with Ruby, it was created in 2013 by the late Monty Oum, who is also known for Red vs. Blue, as an animated web series. It's now one of Rooster Teeth's most beloved, viewed, and shared franchises, with the 9th volume of the series having premiered earlier this month exclusively on Crunchyroll alongside all previous volumes. The film was produced and directed by Kerry Shawcross from the Ruby franchise and is written by screenwriter Megan Fitzmartin, who you will know that we spoke to on this podcast a few months ago for the Legion of Superheroes movie. Producers are Ethan Spaulding, Jim Krieg, and Kimberly S. Maru. Laurie Yates is supervising producer, and executive producer is Michael Uslan, who you will know from the Bat franchise. Sam Register is also an executive producer. And as I said, you can grab your copy on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital in the UK now. I haven't had a chance to see this movie yet, but I have obviously watched the trailer a little bit. I'm trying to familiarise myself with the characters from Ruby so it makes a bit more sense. The animation looks really alien to me, but very cool at the same time. The character designs are really interesting. They do have a great anime flair. So I think Boy Wonder, will probably quite enjoy this film because it really digs into some of the anime stuff that he loves. But when it comes to anime and the potential for interviews as well as review, I thought there's one man for the job, and that is James. So he will be tackling a review of the film, which will be up on the website probably by the time this podcast releases. And he also got to sit down with Chandler Riggs, the actor who, as I said, is voicing Superman, Clark Kent, in this film and is widely known in pop culture for the role of Carl in The Walking Dead. So why don't we have a little listen to their chat.
Hey, James, how you doing? Very nice to meet you.
Oh, great to meet you too. It's awesome talking to you. As a big fan of The Walking Dead, this is a highlight of the year so far. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
Oh, dude, that's so great to hear. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm happy to.
And before we get started, just wanted to say a big welcome to the DC Universe. This must be really, really exciting for you.
Thank you. Yeah, this is absolutely it's a once in a lifetime kind of thing. It's one of the most surreal things that has happened to me in the last however many years. It's just so cool to have an opportunity like this and, to get to join the DC family and the anime community too. It's it's such a crazy blend of worlds and I'm so lucky to be a part of it.
I was writing down questions and I was contemplating whether to speak about anime because I never know if people are into anime. I'm a huge anime fan and I didn't want to just assume, but you're an anime fan?
Yes, yeah. I was kind of off and on for a little while, but my girlfriend is super big into it and so she's got me hooked on all of the big shows right now. So yes, I am an anime fan for sure.
That is awesome. That makes me very, very happy. What are you watching at the moment?
So we love Demon Slayer, Chainsaw Man. We're still trying to get caught up on Attack on Titan, kind of on the back burner right now. But right now, actually, her favorite is Land of the Lustrous, so we're watching through that. What else? We have so much that's on our backlog of things to watch. But I try to at least keep up with the mainstream stuff in anime because it's such a cool medium to tell stories in. Oh, and we just watched Susan May.
Oh, fantastic!
It's so surreal to think that I'll be a part of the that community now. It's so cool.
That's amazing. And yeah, like you said, you're now part of the anime community. You're also part of the DC community, and not just that, it's your first kind of DC role is Superman. What was that kind of conversation like?
It's just so surreal and so crazy. I remember I got the email and I was like, "Did you guys send this to the right client here? Like, is this, are you sure this is for me?" And yeah, it was just like so surreal. And I was a huge fan of Rooster Teeth as well. I had watched all 9 seasons. I have all of them on DVD. Red versus Blue. So. Getting to like come back and work with those guys, it felt like just very full circle. And I remember talking to Carrie, I think either on the when we were recording or around the time we were recording, and they were just casually throwing around the names like, oh yeah, Wonder Woman is doing this and Batman is whatever, the Flash. I'm like, guys, this is crazy. You know that, right? Like, to be, like, just throwing around those names, like, it's nothing. It's just, like, so surreal to me. And they were like, yeah, we know we've been on the... It's, like, it's been crazy for us, too, in meetings, having these names thrown around. It's just crazy.
That's awesome. And, obviously, this is kind of like your first major voice acting role. And what was that experience like, kind of recording your lines, being in that booth, you know... did you adjust to it okay?
Yeah, you know, I've been doing a lot of, you know, studying on acting and everything, taking a ton of classes over the last 2 years, so I was really able to take everything that I've learned and apply it to this, and they actually liked my neutral voice a lot for this, you know, version of Superman, so I didn't really have to... I didn't have to do a ton of, like, change with my vocal, you know, range or change the sound of my voice, but I still had to, like, reverse engineer this character, and it's such a unique and complex character. It's an adult Superman that's in a young body that has hormones and this, like, awkwardness that's, like, thrown into it that's, you know, it has to be in line with the Superman that people know and love. And however many decades of you know, media. So it was a really interesting challenge to tackle, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head there. The thing that I loved about this version of Superman is that, you know, he's young at heart, but there's still that kind of like defining strength and presence. And I think you did such a good job of bringing that in, but also the innocence of being kind of like a teenager. I was just wondering, did you look to any other iterations of Superman for, you know, inspiration?
You know, the character of Superman, I feel like it's so, like, ingrained in everybody's minds that I didn't really have to go and do a ton of research, luckily. I had my coaches and everything that I was collaborating with to help kind of bring the character to life, but I took a hard, good look at the current, you know, or at least over the last how many years of animated Justice League Superman, because that's the character that I'm, you know, that people are kind of expecting is Justice League's Superman, the animated version. So that was kind of how I reverse engineered the character and built him off of. So yeah, that's kind of where I look to inspiration. But, you know, again, he's such an iconic character that people know inside and out, so I really had to bring all of that weight to this character. So, but it sounds like it paid off, and I'm so glad to hear that.
I had such a good time watching it, and I'm kind of somewhat new to the kind of the Ruby fan base and that world, so it was a really nice introduction and a continuation of that, and I really loved just absorbing it all in. And especially as like a comic book fan, what I've kind of come to realize is that the great thing about these characters is that you can kind of come into contact with them at any point in your lives through different mediums, whether that's comics, animated shows, TV, films, and even games. So I was just wondering, what was your first interaction with the DC Universe?
Oh, man. My first... Oh, man. I had to have been so, so young. You know, actually, I think my dad had a bunch of, like, original, like, Green Lantern comics from that he got when he was a kid. And I think I remember being, like barely knowing how to read and picking up one of those Green Lantern comics. But the show that I like really like attached to was like the CW's The Flash.
Yeah.
That was like the one character in the DC Universe that like I watched that show like religiously every week, and it's my favorite like DC superhero. But I think my first one was the Green Lantern, the comics for it.
That's a very good choice, and with the Flash as well. I mean, going back to, you know, early CW, Arrow and the Flash, that was they were my interactions, and it's good to know that other people were watching and enjoying them as much, especially as much as I did, because I was obsessed with them. So looking at voice acting again, and obviously where this is such an early kind of point for you, this film is full of a lot of really cool action scenes. What was it like recording those scenes? I know it can be kind of like an isolating experience in booths. So what was it like trying to get into the action, into the heart of it?
Yeah, that was a really fun part. Because for a lot of the action stuff, they got some, any like specific sounds or words I needed to say, they got those. But then at the end, they got like a whole library of like varying levels of like efforts or yells when they need to. And then, you know, for like if they need me to come back for a second round of pickups, I can, you know, finish it off or grab whatever other lines I needed. So that was a really cool, fun experience for you to try that out.
And looking perhaps to the future, obviously this is, you know, part one. Do you think your experience voicing Superman will open up any other avenues for voice acting? Are there different characters, heroes, or even villains that you'd love to try out?
Hopefully. I can't comment on part two, unfortunately, but I really hope this opens up avenues for voice acting and hopefully in the DC universe, be really, really cool.
Absolutely. I would love to see you kind of tackle different characters, especially knowing that you're an anime fan. Maybe there's an anime show out there that you can really get involved with. And I'm very, very excited for part two. And I really hope that people enjoy this kind of crazy combination of two very different worlds. And kind of like to round off with, I was just wondering if you could tell us where we find Superman. It was going to be my first question, but as soon as you mentioned anime, I completely went off topic. So where do we find Clark Kent? What's he up to? What's kind of especially for new fans?
Clark Kent, Superman, he's he's the audience's kind of first perspective on Ruby and this different realm remnant. And as you're watching it, you kind of learn through his eyes and find all these questions about many of the baseline changes Justice League that will after, including that he's a teenager, how his powers have changed, he's paired up with new teammates, and there's Menacing Grimm as the primary opponent. But he also has these vague, sporadic memories of his past that have brought them to remnant. So he's really the audience's kind of gateway into this whole crazy, weird new world that has all these different rules and everything. So, it's a cool ride.
A massive thank you, as always, to Warner Brothers for setting up that interview for us. I know James had a really good time and was really excited about chatting to Chandler about this, having watched the film just beforehand. Now, if you follow me on social media, which you can, I'm @NeilVag if you don't, you will know that I am currently in mourning. I am mourning the loss of Star Trek Picard, which completed its third and final season last week with an absolutely outstanding ending with final episode, The Last Generation. Whew. I don't want to say too much because I could talk for hours about it. And you can read all of my reviews of the individual episodes out there. I ended up giving 5 stars to every single episode this season. It is a 5-star season beyond that. But I just wanted to touch on it on an episode of this podcast because I feel like I've been talking about it everywhere else. And if you've not watched it, my God, what a season of TV it is. It is a huge testament to the writing abilities of that writer's room and to executive producer and showrunner Terry Metalis for pulling together what is genuinely a 10-hour movie. Even though individual episodes are structured in a way that they do have a beginning, middle and end, the serialized story this season is just so brilliant. It runs amazingly across the course of 10 episodes. There are a couple of bits which run a little slow, and maybe you could suggest that it could have been shaved down into a movie, but given how the Next Generation characters left us with Nemesis, it's just amazing that they were given this opportunity, and actually every single bit of the season is worthwhile because it really is a love letter to all of those characters, that style of storytelling, and that whole 90s era, '90s and early noughties era of Star Trek, from Next Generation through Deep Space Nine through Voyager and touching on Enterprise as well. The whole thing is just brilliant. It's not the biggest budget that you're going to find out there. You know, this isn't a kind of Game of Thrones style super epic, but my God, do they use their budget to absolute maximum ability. The ships all look great. The space fights look great. The sets look absolutely stunning. Costume design is stunning. Everything about it is just so wonderful. It's maybe not an entry point into Star Trek if you've not watched The Next Generation, but if you have some familiarity with those characters, then it's just one of the most rewarding shows, I think, which has been on TV in the last 10 years. And certainly as somebody who grew up with The Next Generation and has watched pretty much all Trek, it's going to be what goes down in history for me as one of my favourite seasons of all Star Trek. It's so... honestly, I wept like a baby through several of the last episodes because it just touched on so many amazing points across these characters' histories and the history and legacy of the franchise. It's just... it's unbelievable what they've been able to do with just a 10-episode season. I think all TV needs to learn from the kind of tight storytelling that we've got here. The idea of a 22-episode season was something that I used to love, but now I really think that there is benefit to having shorter, tighter, more well-produced seasons. And this is an absolutely prime example of it. Now we just have to hope that Paramount is listening to fans who would love to see Star Trek Legacy, or whatever it would end up being called, which would be a continuation. It still kind of baffles me that after all these years, there's never been stories in, you know, on TV or in film which follow on from that 90s and noughties era of TV. We've had, following Voyager, they went into prequel territory with Enterprise. Then you had the Kelvin timeline movies from J.J. Abrams that retold the Kirk-Spock story. Then you had Discovery, which is set between Enterprise and the original series. We have Strange New Worlds, which is also, you know, set around before the time of the original series. The only opportunities we've had on TV to tell stories set in the sort of quote-unquote present day of Star Trek are Lower Decks, which is around the time of Star Trek Nemesis, and also Prodigy, which are obviously the two animated shows, but are both brilliant in their own right. There's so much storytelling to explore in a post-Dominion world, Dominion War kind of landscape. And that's exactly what Terry managed to do and touch upon here. And I think it's really reignited fans' passion for Star Trek. I think Strange New Worlds ignited it to a certain degree. Discovery has brought in a wonderful new audience to Star Trek, as have both of the animated shows. But you can't deny the amount of impact that just 10 weeks of Picard has had by telling a very heavily space set, very Trek story in the same 25th century time period. So I sincerely hope that Paramount is listening and does more and announces it at San Diego Comic-Con when I'm there and can possibly pick up on it. But if you've not seen it, then you can currently watch all three seasons of Star Trek Picard in the UK on both Prime Video and Paramount Plus. We will absolutely circle back to this subject again when it comes out on home video, probably later this year. I think that's probably all I want to say about it for now. You can actually check out, I've done two streams with the wonderful Luke Deckard on his YouTube channel if you search for him. I did a stream with him for episodes 7 and 8 and then 9 and 10. And even though that's only 4 hours of TV, we managed to clock up over 5 hours of streaming just shooting the shit about Star Trek. So go and check those out if you want to hear a bit more of my in-depth thoughts, or you can read all of my reviews over on the website. This all leads me in nicely to my final segment for this episode, which is things that I want to recommend you over the next couple of weeks that you should be watching, reading, listening to, etc., etc., etc. Obviously, I am recommending Star Trek Picard, which you need to watch if you've not already seen it. You should also listen to the series soundtrack. They've just dropped Stephen Barton and Frederick Wiedemann's score for season 3. It's over 2 hours of really beautiful, beautiful music, which brings back some classic Star Trek themes, but also has lots of new stuff in there as well. And it is absolutely stunning. If you want to give it a taster, listen to the track Dominion. It's my obsession at the moment. I can't stop listening to it on loop. So there's two recommendations for you. A comic book that I would like you all to pick up and support is the first issue of DC Comics' Green Arrow. It hits comic book stores and digital platforms on the 25th of April. It's written by Joshua Williamson and has an artwork and cover by Sean Izaxi. Interior and cover colours are by Romulo Fajardo Jr. and letters by Troy Pateri. The synopsis for the first issue: the Emerald Archer is lost, and it will take Oliver Queen's whole family to find him. But dangerous forces are determined to keep them apart at any cost. Spinning out of Dark Crisis on Infinite Earths, Green Arrow by DC architect Joshua Williamson and artist Sean Izaxi is an action-packed adventure across the DCU that sets the stage for major stories in 2023. I've got a 4-star review of this, which will drop on the website on Tuesday as the book releases. I said, it's a strong but not perfect return for Oliver Queen. I'm excited to have Green Arrow back in comic book stores and keen to see just how far Williamson and Izaxi are able to push this new high-concept story arc before they bring Oliver back down to Earth. It's a little busy, there are a lot of characters involved, but it is very worthwhile. If you are a fan of Green Arrow, Black Canary, Roy Harper, all of the characters that make up the kind of Arrow family, then this is going to be the perfect book for you because they are all there and it is brilliant. And last, but by no means least, a movie recommendation. This one is for the 18 plus out there, but if you are looking for something a little scary, a little creepy, very atmospheric, then please, I implore you to go check out Evil Dead Rise. It's in cinemas now. It was originally shot for HBO Max, so it would have been a streaming release, but was upgraded to theatrical as part of the whole Warner Brothers Discovery takeover, and it is absolutely brilliant. I gave it a cool 4 stars in my review, which you can check out over on the website, and I said Evil Dead Rise benefits greatly from a change of setting and tone to the earlier movies. Lee Cronin has crafted a genuinely terrifying and stomach-churning gore fest, which is deserving of the Evil Dead name. It's so good. It uses so many practical makeup effects and stunt effects and practical just gore, and yet is still enhanced by the visual effects that were available to them as well. So it is the perfect mix of kind of old and new tech to make a film which will have you on the edge of your seat and wanting to hide behind a pillow at all times. So please, 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 please do go check it out while it's in the cinema because it's so, so worth it. And that's all for this episode. We will be back with episode 91 in a couple of weeks. We do need to talk about the final 6 episodes of Titans. We were going to podcast about it as the review embargo lifted, but Boy Wonder had some stuff going on with his PhD that was far more important than talking about Titans, and actually we decided that we probably wanted to do a spoilery deep dive and sort of romanticize our feelings on four seasons of Titans. So we're going to circle back to it once the final episode is out in a few weeks. So you have that to look forward to. There might be some movies coming out in the coming weeks. A Guardians of the Galaxy, perhaps. Possibly an Indiana Jones, a Transformers, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Flash. There is a lot because we are about to kick in to summer season. So ahead of San Diego Comic-Con and the beginning of summer blockbuster season, I think we'll be giving you our picks for some of the biggest and best upcoming movies as and when we see them. But until then, please do stay safe, stay well, and I will see you very soon. Bye!